You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
Welcome to New York, indeed. Keyshawn, J. Will,
Welcome
Zubin.
To New York.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Is that Taylor Swift in studio? Yes, it is.
Yeah, I listen to her every day.
Do you?
All day long.
Cardigans and all?
Just sit there and just listen to Taylor.
By the way, Bill Parcells, your coach.
Yes.
Turned 80 yesterday.
80 years old. I texted him yesterday. Happy birthday, Coach Bill.
How often do you get to talk to him?
We text a lot, more so than talk. A little texting here and there.
Right. And I mean, you know, like of the coaches that you've
had. I
didn't
even realize he was the big 8-0.
Yeah, that's.
And I was just thinking
that number,
to myself.
That's a big round number, man.
I was thinking to myself, I was like, damn, they wanted him to coach not too long ago either.
Yeah.
They wanted him to come back into coaching.
I remember.
Sean Payton wanted him to take over when he got suspended, but that was a while ago for the Bounty Gate thing.
Yep,
and then
yep.
I remember when Trent Baalke was at San Francisco 49ers as their general manager, and I think this was before the Tom Tasula deal.
Oh, God.
Or, yeah, before
Jim,
that.
Jim Tom
I think
Sula.
Jim Tom Sula.
Yeah.
I think it was before that that he was talking to Bill about potentially coming back to coach. I was like, jeez.
Well, but you have a reputation as somebody that can
but
get
he
can your
do
franchise
yeah.
organized,
can, yeah.
right? Like, if you could describe him, what's his best attribute? And why he has become somebody that is so valued as a coach and also as a as an advisor.
He knows football, man. Like, he knows the game.
It's more than that.
No, but
everybody knows football at that
everybody,
level.
Just because you know X and O, it's a lot that goes into
right.
other football other than X and O, from a motivational standpoint to understanding players' mentalities and what makes them tick and not tick.
Relating to players.
Relating
right.
to players. The X and O's. Identifying who's good, who's not good, all of those sort of things. It's just a lot that goes into it.
Who is the teammate? Who did we talk to that said that was it Parcells was the only one that wouldn't?
Oh, man, don't listen to Jermaine Wiggins.
Oh, that's Jermaine Wiggins, right. And he called it Parcells.
It's just no, but
still, like you, when you talk about him, you do speak with reverence about Bill Parcells. You
well,
do
because he, when you know, all my coaches, whether it's been Bill or Tony Dungy or John Robinson, they all have their own unique ways of getting the best out of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And
you love playing for him.
Oh my God, yeah.
See, that's what
in a heartbeat.
And again, as a Jets,
but
fan,
I knew that anyway. Though for me. From day one, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, day one, when he took over 97, I wasn't worried about me at all. I was going to be fine because all I do is what you ask me to do.
But you knew
if you
who
try
he was.
To wipe it under my nose and tell me it smells like roses, then you're going to have a problem with me because you're lying to me. And I know you're lying to me. I never had to worry about that with him. You know, he just simply say, hey, look, we're not going to be able to do this. This is what we're going to do. He's not going to run me up and down the football field doing practice all week long, and it'd tell me, yeah, man, you're going to get the ball, you're going to get this and that. And then come the game time, I got one target in three quarters.
Right.
What the hell is going on? So that's going to naturally make you mad, opposed to, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to take Cornelius Bennett and run him to the Gatorade buckets. And when we get the opportunity to throw to you, we're going to throw, but this is a Curtis Martin game. So this is the game plan this week. I just want you to do that. Oh, okay, cool. No problem.
Yeah,
that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Good. Again, we're gonna win, though, right?
Honesty, what a concept. Trust is a delicate thing, man.
Oh, man.
It's so big
when you have those type of coaches. But when you have the ones that's, hey, you're the greatest thing ever. Oh, God, you're so good. We got you handled. Don't worry about
Keyshawn,
it.
Keyshawn, I'm going to keep you all pumped up.
We're going to
get you
going.
The ball. We're going to make you a star. You're
man.
A big part of our offense. You're a big
God.
Part of what we do.
Garbage. Then they sit up and lie to you.
Well, again, as part of Bill Parcells and his coaching tree is obviously, you know, Bill Belichick. And he – it was interesting what he had to say earlier this morning about the the coaching situation, the quarterback situation in New England, as we've been talking about. So he is now speaking. Now listen to the, not just what he says, but the tone. This is from the Greg Hill Show on WEEI this morning on what it would take to beat out Cam Newton.
The fact that Cam started last year and he's here, somebody's going to have to play better than him. I mean, we're not just going to take a job and say, okay, here, this is, you know, gift wrap for somebody, you know. But training camp is all about competition, and there's an element to who the starter is, but there's also a competition, and in the end, the competition is going to decide how things go in any given year. And I think everybody on the team is really in the same boat. It's no different.
So in other words,
the player's name doesn't matter. It's whatever you did last year is okay, great, whether it was good or it wasn't so good. This is a new year, this is a new opportunity, and each one of us has to establish our level of performance this year, no matter what position we play. Head coach, position coach, offensive player, defensive player, whatever it is. And then what that role becomes is what, you know, what we show that we're capable of doing.
I think he's shown great respect for the veteran who was here last year. This is his job. You're going to have to play better than him. Suggests Mac Jones hasn't.
But as he said, competition will decide. Mm-hmm. Clearly, competition decided.
Right.
And Cam Newton's our starter, and Mac Jones' opportunity will come.
Yeah, and he spoke,
that's it.
And
it's not that difficult. But these quarterbacks and these people out there, they want Mac Jones to start so bad. Like, it's not happening right now. Okay? Belichick said it before. Josh McDaniels has said it. Now Belichick said it again. What damn more do you want? Like, just leave it alone until Cam screws it up.
It's what until Cam screws it up is the way that you end that thought. Well, let's bring in Brian Griese from ESPN's Monday Night Football. Again, tonight we have a game, a preseason game on Monday Night Football. You have the Saints and the Jaguars. We'll get to that in a moment. But, Brian, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Just your thoughts. You're just hearing Bill Belichick there talking about the quarterback situation there. As Key said, there is a lot of energy behind Mac Jones, whether or not he can compete for this job. But it sounds to us like Bill Belichick's letting us know Cam Newton's the guy, and it's going to remain that way.
Yeah, hey, guys, good morning. I agree with Key. I think it's pretty clear how Bill Belichick is approaching this. And I think it's natural for fans, especially of the team there in New England, or you look at – in Jacksonville or in New York with Zach Wilson or in San Francisco with Trey Lance, everybody wants to microwave these rookie quarterbacks and have them start from week one. And if you're a coach and you've got an incumbent like Cam or Jimmy Garoppolo, you have to look at the entirety of the season. You can't have a short-term view. We've got 17 games to play this year, not 16, 17. It's a long season. And I think they understand that to throw a rookie out there in the first game of the season, they don't have to do that. Why not start the year with the incumbent, with the starter, who is a leader, unquestionable leader in Cam Newton on your team, and bring that rookie along. Let him see live bullets for 2, 3, 4 games and reassess after a month as to how Cam's playing, how the team's reacting to him, and let the kid develop on the sideline and watch. I think it's a no-brainer. And I understand how we want to get these first round draft picks out there from the jump. I just talked with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer yesterday about this. There's no guarantee Trevor Lawrence starts week one. So I think the fans need to understand that.
So tonight, as you mentioned, you have the Saints and the Jaguars. You're on the call tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, by the way, on ESPN, the Monday Night Football in the preseason. And, Brian, Sean Payton told Peter King that he hopes to name his starter before the final preseason game, which would be next Saturday or this coming Saturday against Arizona. They still have to play, certainly, tonight's game. So I would say Jameis Winston's performance tonight with the starters, as he's going to get the start, might be the most important game that he will play since he was out of Tampa. How important is this game in your mind for him tonight after hearing that, what Sean Payton said?
Yeah, listen, I think it's important for Jameis. He's in a position now that is, I think it's the best possible position for his career and where he is at this point. We had a chance to talk with him yesterday. He was reflective from his time in Tampa, how it ended, how it went down, from what he learned a year ago from Drew Brees in that position. And now this team that has a lot of talent, Obviously, they've had to make some changes in the offseason with some of their top players from a salary cap standpoint, but they have a nucleus of really talented players back on both sides of the ball. And I think Jameis understands that this is probably the best opportunity, the best head coach quarterback room that he could possibly be in. Now he's got to go out and do it. He's got to go out and execute and take care of the football, all the things that we've talked about for many years with Jameis. He has all the talent. I think, just my opinion, guys, I think the team is hoping that Jameis takes this job. I know that Sean Payton is conflicted with respect to Taysom Hill and how much respect that he has for Taysom Hill and owed it to him to allow this competition to play out throughout the offseason and throughout camp and give Taysom Hill every opportunity to win this job. But I think at the same time, you know, Taysom Hill brings a lot of value to this offense and to the team in special teams, that if he were to win the starting quarterback position, it would be a loss from that standpoint and what he brings to the offense. So I think they want both guys on the field. And if you had to ask me, I think that's the direction they're ultimately going to go.
Yeah, that's true in everything, Brian, but I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy. You watched a lot of film this preseason on the Saints and what they're doing, and you, like you said, you talked to guys yesterday. So who should be the starter?
Well, I think it's Jameis. I think Jameis Winston gives them an element that they have not had in the last 5-6 years. And, you know, they want to push the ball down the field. They have some athletes on the outside that allow them to do that and to take some pressure off of Alvin Kamara. It can't be that they have to go 12, 13 play drives to score. That's just too hard. They need more explosion outside of number 41 on offense. And I think that they have it. Marquez Callaway is a young player that's coming on. Traquan Smith's another guy. You know, Michael Thomas, we know what he is. But Jameis gives them an opportunity to push the ball down the field on a more consistent basis. And so for that reason, I think he should be the guy.
You think also, too, when you look at how Taysom Hill, as you mentioned earlier, plays that very specific role in the offense. When Drew Brees was there, you saw Taysom Hill come in as a guy that they would use in the offense. So to make him the starter would almost take that option away from the offense. So wouldn't it be more of that logical fit if, of course, Jameis Winston plays well enough that you can maintain that type of offense and maintain what you have in Taysom Hill as that, you know, that specialized player that you can use in certain situations?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was saying. It's a difficult situation for Sean Payton. Okay. You got to understand the relationship that he has with Taysom Hill and what Taysom Hill means to him and his team and the respect that he has in the locker room. Okay. You can't hold against Taysom Hill the fact that he's a great athlete and that he impacts the offense and has value there. You can't hold that against him in the quarterback competition. This kid wants to play quarterback, and he is a good quarterback. I don't know that he's a franchise quarterback. I don't know that he's going to take you to the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, that's what Sean Payton's trying to understand here. Who is going to take us to the playoffs? Who's going to compete against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Green Bay Packers and people like that? And which quarterback gives me the best chance to win in the playoffs? And so it's a hard situation because Taysom Hill has earned the right to compete level playing field for the quarterback spot. And when you bring into the equation that, oh, he's got value over here, and if we name him the starter, we're going to lose that, mm-hmm. That's not fair to the kid. And so I think that's what's different and unique about this quarterback competition. It's unlike any other we've ever seen, because if Taysom Hill doesn't win it, he has this fallback plan where he's still going to be a starter and a big part of the offense.
He still will be on the field. Brian Griese, ESPN, Monday Night Football, joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on the call tonight, Saints versus the Jaguars, 8 Eastern on ESPN. Brian, you played a long time in Denver, obviously, and they got a little quarterback deal going on there with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. Same question on the Taysom Hill situation with Jameis Winston. Who should be the quarterback as of right now, based on their preseason ability? Should it be Bridgewater or should it be Locke?
Yeah, Key, this one's a little bit more difficult because you have two quarterbacks that are very similar. I think that – and both guys have played well in the preseason. They've played well in camp and practice. And honestly, when you ask Vic Fangio, and we talk with him quite a bit, he calls it an even battle. And, you know, the first preseason game, Drew Lock comes out and plays great. And he wins the battle, first preseason game. Then the next game – against Seattle, Teddy Bridgewater plays great. I think the good scenario for Denver is either one of these guys can go out there and play, and I think they're going to need both of them during the course of the season. If it were me, I would start with Drew Lock because Teddy Bridgewater, you know what he is, and you know the stabilizing force that he can be. Look what he did, you know, for the Saints. When Drew Brees goes down, he comes in and goes 5-0. I think there's obviously more upside with Drew Lock. He's a little bit better athlete. He's got more explosion. If he's able to cut down the turnovers and manage the offense, I think ultimately you got to give him the first shot at it.
You go with somebody also, you think, manage the offense because that defense can be very good. Again, Brian Griese joining us. Saints-Jaguars tonight on Monday Night Football. Let's talk a little bit about Jacksonville and their situation too, because you did mention this at the very beginning of the call, but let's get back to that. Is Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick, the guy that a lot of people are saying could be a generational quarterback, and yet Urban Meyer has not named him his starter. There is a chance that Gardner Minshew could end up being the starter at the beginning of the season. What, like, should they do that? What would it say if they did that? I know Kia's had this opinion that if they do that, it might not be as much about Trevor Lawrence as it is about where the Jaguars are right now as a team around him.
Yeah, I came down here to New Orleans, and I saw and read, heard everything that you guys did about this quote unquote quarterback competition, and I don't think it's a quarterback competition. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be an outstanding NFL quarterback for a long time, and we talked with him yesterday, and he's as impressive a rookie quarterback as I've seen in a long time. And he's got the right attitude, head on his shoulders. He has a lot to learn, just like every rookie quarterback. But I think what Urban Meyer is trying to do is be fair to Trevor Lawrence. And again, this is a long season. And you have 17 games now. The Jaguars were 1-15 a year ago. If you say, okay, I'm gonna react to the fans and put Trevor out there week one, are we talking about the difference between 2-15 and 5-12? I mean, the Jaguars aren't going to go to the playoffs this year. So what's best for the kid long term rather than, you know, what's best for the fans in Jacksonville week one? I think that's what Urban Meyer is trying to tell the difference between. Now they've got some injuries up front. Their center, Brandon Linder, is not going to play tonight. He's got a knee. Andrew Norwell as an elbow, so it's not like they're 100% on the offensive line. So, I truly believe that Urban is conflicted as to whether he's going to start Trevor or Gardner Minshew week one. That's what he told us yesterday. And I think it's going to go all the way up until that week for him to make a decision. I don't think it has anything to do with Trevor Lawrence. I think it's more of an organizational and an offensive health situation that will go into making that decision.
Brian, you've been around this league a very long time, whether it was as a player, television, radio, whatever the case may be, and you've seen a lot of things. How do you think Urban Meyer's going to do in the NFL, given he got off to somewhat of a rocky start with the strength and conditioning coach to, you know, then he became about a week of a laughingstock by bringing in the Tim Tebow thing and, you know, so now things are settling down that they're getting out of camp and the regular season is going to start. Is he here for the long haul?
You know, it's going to be tough, Keith. It's going to be tough. It's and I start with just the level of talent on the team, you know, and what they're trying to piece together. They are a long way from, you know, competing at a high level. And now you add in a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach, you know, forget all of that he's been in college and hasn't been in the NFL. Like, if we were just talking about this team with those factors, you'd say it's going to be a tough road. Now you bring into the equation that this is the first time Urban is doing a lot of these things. I talked to them yesterday about game management and running clock and analytics and how you make decisions on a weekly basis. How are you implementing what you ran offensively in college with what Darrell Bevell has done throughout his career, and how you integrate those things? I mean, that's a process. So there's a lot of moving parts, and it's going to be tough. There's no question. I think Urban understands it's going to be tough. Long haul is not words I would use, Key. No.
Brian, I'm going to ask you about a fellow Michigan man, and that'd be Tom Brady, of course, one quarterback to another. There's a quote Peter King has from him talking about how much he loves playing football, which to go this deep into your career playing and into your 40s playing, you must love it. But he said that he also referenced something that Byron Leftwich said. He said it's very simple. It's a very simple game that it's so hard to execute. It's a totally imperfect game that you're trying to do as perfectly as possible. He said, every day I come out trying to do it, I'm hoping this is my best year. Do you think it could be for Tom Brady in his second season in Tampa Bay at his age?
I learned a long time ago to never doubt Tom Brady. I think a lot of people doubted him last year, especially with the way the year started. I think it absolutely could be. Because I know his dedication and his sacrifice from a physical standpoint, he's going to have himself ready to play. And now with the way that the weapons that he has on offense, the stability in the organization, and the relationships now that he's built, in that organization, yes, it could be his best year. Because you look at everything he brings to the table mentally and you know that he's going to be ready to play. You know that if they can stay healthy, that they're going to be right there at the end. I would not doubt it one minute. That's the simple answer. Is I'm not going to doubt Tom Brady.
Brian, we appreciate your time.
Now
all the
back,
best.
Yeah, and go back and get some sleep, man. You got a game to call.
A late game tonight, Monday night football.
You got me up early, man.
All the best. All right, Brian Griese on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear. Movement's always driving us forward, whether it's on the track, the court, or on the field. Every move we make, every road we choose to go down, and every single mile marker we pass leads us to find out just how far we can go. Goodyear, more driven. Again, Saints Jaguars tonight, Monday Night Football, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. By the way, so Griese and Brady were at Michigan together.
That's what I was trying. I was. Yeah. You said teammate, I was like, did they overlap?
Yeah, 2 years difference between the two of them. And Greasy's been retired for like 12 years.
Greasy's older though, right?
Yeah, 2 years older. But think
two
about
years
it.
Older.
He's 2 years older, but he's been retired for.
So Griese, Brady, and Henson were all together.
Yeah, Drew Henson. They had quite the run there. But it's amazing out of that group. It's Brady who's not only still playing.
I wish I could have asked him why Michigan. Never mind. I wanted to get into the, man, when y'all going to be good again? Then he could have came at me and said, well, when y'all going to be good again?
It's true. Yeah, if you're not in the SEC, that's always been the question at that point. But so coming up, much more on tonight's Monday night game, and it's in an easy call in the Big Easy. Is it an easy call in the Big Easy on quarterback? It doesn't sound like it will be. So what is Key looking for tonight? We'll find out after he has this.
It's baseball season and you're ready to go all out. So you ordered the essentials to make game day a success, like a jersey, a power recliner, and a bigger screen. And you use your Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back online on your online shopping, rewards that you put toward an essential piece of the celebration, an air horn.
Ouch.
Apply for you. There you go. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
1-1. Fly ball right center. Deep. Got a chance. 500! Miguel Cabrera has done it. The high five to Santiago as he rounds third, and his teammates pour out of the dugout. And this crowd in Toronto on their feet.
That was the call. 97-1 the ticket as Miguel Cabrera hits career home run number 500. The 38-year-old connected on a 1-1 pitch from Blue Jays lefty Steven Matz in the sixth inning of a Tigers 5-3 win at Toronto. So Miggy is now the 28th player in Major League history to reach the 500 home run milestone. He's now 45 hits from 3,000 hits in his career. If he does it, he'd be one of only seven players to have 500 home runs and 3,000 hits. To the NFL preseason, where Trey Lance found his rhythm against the Chargers, played 30 snaps in the 49ers. 15-10 win last night. Finished 8-14, 102 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Meanwhile, Jimmy Garoppolo, he was 3-6, 15 yards with an interception in his only series. Now, asked if he's seen anything that would change how he views the initial plan of Garoppolo as the starter and Trey Lance as the backup, Coach Kyle Shanahan said, quote, "No, I haven't seen that," end quote. However, he declined the chance to name Jimmy G his week one starter, saying he'll probably wait until closer to the September 12th opener. Tonight, Monday Night Football, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, Saints and the Jaguars, and quarterback competition continues for both teams. Jameis Winston will start his first preseason game for the Saints, followed by Taysom Hill. Number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, will likely start for the Jaguars on the site of his only two college losses at Clemson. SportsCenter, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide. You can get the Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, no contract. All in America's best network, Straight Talk Wireless. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Now you're starting with a new quarterback. We all assume it's Jameis Winston. Going to beat out Taysom Hill. That's what we assume.
The best chance and the best case scenario for the New Orleans Saints is Jameis Winston.
Got some pieces to work with. Now it's time to deliver.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key with you this morning. And let's go back to something, Key, that we mentioned when we were talking with Brian Griese early or in the hour. So Peter King, in his weekly Monday morning in America, football morning in America column,
yes, sir.
He said he talked to Sean Payton, and he said that Payton said that he hopes to name his starter for the Saints before the final preseason game, which will be Saturday. Yeah. Well, they play tonight.
Yeah.
So essentially, tonight is it. This is the competition.
Yes.
Jameis Winston starts. Taysom Hill will come off the bench and be the backup. He will come in and get reps as well. What do you need to see out of Jameis Winston for you to say he's got this thing locked up?
Well, I think he needs to be efficient. That's the norm, right? He needs to be crisp, engineer drives, added up by points in the end. Don't turn the football over, meaning he can't turn the football over. If the ball goes off of a receiver's hands and it gets intercepted like Trey Lance and like Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday, that's okay. That's not on him. But I need to see those sort of things. Command of the huddle. And I think you'll probably see that tonight because this is the dress rehearsal game if he's going to name the starter before the next game. This means that they're going to be game planning the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're going to game plan to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars with who's ever at quarterback. Now, these plays that you see tonight may not be plays you see early in the season for the New Orleans Saints, but they're going to be game planning them and looking at some of those sort of things. And if he's executing crisp and doing what he's supposed to do, he's probably going to wind up being a starter.
Now, again, you're playing Jacksonville.
Doesn't matter, though.
A team that's very good.
I've given you a bunch of different plays. Now I want you to go out there and execute them.
You also want to see also impact on, like, the players around him, right? Like you said, command of the huddle.
But he's been there.
You want to feel like he's
got rhythm. I think he has that.
He's got that.
That's not really a problem because he's a pro that's not a bum. Okay, he just had some tough breaks in Tampa Bay. He was there last year. They know him.
Command of the system.
Yeah, they know who he is. He's in the huddle. He's in the building.
Right.
So that's not a problem.
Okay. So I mean, the logical thing to do is to start him. As I've said, and even Brian Griese also brought it up as well earlier,
it's only logical because you'll be taking something away from your team.
That's what I mean.
If you decide to go with Taysom Hill, you're taking that particular Swiss Army knife ingredients away from your offense. And you may not want to do that. And I think Jameis Winston overall is just a better quarterback for what they want to do in their system. He's just a better quarterback.
Is he their replacement isn't the right word. Like, you know,
yes, he's their heir apparent replacement. Well, okay. That is
heir apparent, that's the way to go. Because you could have where he's a bridge and they're still going to find their guy.
No.
He's young enough.
Winston's young
enough to be there for the next to 8 years.
But he was a number one overall pick. Man.
Yes.
Tampa Bay, in my opinion, didn't do enough to help Jameis out all the way around. And he didn't do enough to help himself out. So collectively, they fell together. They fell together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, he's in a quarterback room with a coach who wants him to succeed. Even though he likes Taysom Hill, but he likes Jameis Winston too. And Sean Payton was on with us earlier in the year, I want to say in the offseason, and he talked about what Jameis is to them and what, you know, about free agency and what Jameis, he knows the process. They know him. He knows them. He's been in the system. And so it's a plus. It's nothing negative to get a jump start on a young career in a different team in a different city.
What are the Saints with him as their starting quarterback? I mean, are they the same Saints that we've gotten to know over the last couple of years, which have had, you know, strong regular seasons? They've had some hard luck, obviously, in the postseason. But still, they have just always
been a very competitive
team.
I think they're still going to be competitive. I think they're still going to be legit. They get Michael Thomas back healthy. I think they're going to be fine. I really honestly do.
With him?
With him at quarterback.
What do you trust about him now that maybe you wouldn't have trusted about him? And remember, it's a whole year off
from a year where it's more about Sean than it is him. Because I put so much on head coaches that call plays and quarterback so-called expert gurus to get it right. Sean has gotten it right with the quarterback position. He's not one of these dudes running around phony balonies. Okay? Let's start with Tony Romo. He was the guy who discovered Tony Romo at Eastern Illinois. He was the guy who wanted to put Tony Romo in early, and then he said, you know, okay, and he left to take the New Orleans job. He was the guy that decided to help sign Drew Brees, and the rest was history, and bring in Chase Daniels, who's been in the NFL forever, as the backup in New Orleans. You know, so when you start to look at those things, he's gotten the quarterback position right. Bringing in Taysom Hill and using him all the way around at different positions, but yet and still inserting him in five games as a starting quarterback, going 4-1 when Drew Brees wasn't in there. So he's gotten it right. So you got to start there. He's not going to allow Jameis Winston to drop back and throw the ball 60 times a game and throw four interceptions. I trust that he's not going
to
do that.
Right. You're not going to get to that point, which is, again, with Bruce Arians, he sort of was just left to go ahead and just sling it, and we saw how that worked out. What was it? Was it
no biscuit, risk it, or risk it, no biscuit?
I mean, how many – was it 30 interceptions?
30.
It was
33, I think.
I mean, that was
– something wild.
That was definitely wild. There's no doubt about it. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's the Dr. Pepper call-in line. And, of course, what you know is coming up is Call a Roulette, so you can be part, certainly, of that, and more discussion – for you on that. And again, your hot takes, your questions, everything you want, that comes up in Car Roulette. And we'll get to that after I tell you about Indeed. Finding the perfect hire can feel like searching for a needle in a bottomless haystack of resumes. Indeed makes hiring fast and simple with 135 skills tests to help candidates prove they have the experience your job requires. Their powerful hiring platform even helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right on their site, which is probably why Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. That's according to Talent Nest. To learn more about finding your next great hire, visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, line five.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Da, da, da. Ready to go? Go.
Oh, man. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We will get to Carl Roulette in a moment. But last night on Sunday Night Baseball, the Indians shut out the Angels 3-0 in Williamsport, Pennsylvania at the Little League Classic. And this Sunday Night Baseball recap is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Get ready for the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G. Hut, hut. Z Fold 3 5G, pre-order now at Samsung.com.
You would get in the huddle and call it like that?
I mean, how would I call it? Oh, no. Z.
No, you go.
No, you go like, all right, all right,
no, no,
all right.
No, you go Galaxy. Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G and Z Fold 3 5G on 3.
On 3.
And then you go, check 39 base or something like that. They give you all that all fast, and then they give you a check.
And then in your head, you're like,
check with me.
Got all that.
Yeah, you don't know how many times I.
Every time I hear that huddle stuff, I'm always like, and they all walk away like, yeah, I got it. Like, but what? It's like a whole other language.
And then once you really get good, I mean, you really got the system down,
yeah,
you could hear the first several words, I'm gone already out the huddle. I'm gone.
And I'm telling you, like, that's the thing about sports that people don't understand. The amount of studying you have to do and memorizing, but studying is a big part of it. You want to get your pen?
Nah, forget it.
Rob Manfred announced, by the way, that next year at the Little League Classic, it'll be the Orioles-Red Sox. Now, they were supposed to play last year, but that got postponed, obviously, because of the pandemic. So – Little League Classic's pretty cool. I mean, you know, you have the kids there and everything, and you're in Williamsport. Would you rather go to that game or the Field of Dreams game?
No matter who's playing?
Nah.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, I'd rather do that. The Little League World Series, I'm not. I mean, it's cool. It's cute.
Right. But I'm talking about the game, though. The Major League players play in Williamsport.
Oh, the Major League players.
Major League plays there once a year while the Little League World Series is going on.
I get what you're saying. Okay, right, I'm sorry.
So which would be a better venue, a cooler?
I think the Field of Dreams would be. Because you get a chance. I could see a Major League Baseball game almost like in any park anywhere. And I'm not – the Little League deal's cool. But the corn and everything and that whole deal and the movie, I think that would be – for me, that would be the go-to.
Yeah, that setting was
definitely. But I need to know where I'm staying, though. Can't be having me staying. I got to be in a nice spot now.
Somewhere.
Where's it? Dubuque? Where's that?
I don't know. Get you an RV.
Oh.
Stay right out there in the cornfields.
Nah.
They start whispering to you.
No, RV. I've seen too many movies. The knock on the door of the RV, and you open it, and then nobody's there.
In the cornfield.
Did you hear that? Yeah. You go back, sit back down. Somebody knocks on it again.
Let's spin it.
I'm good.
Call the roulette. children. Exactly. Line three.
Hey, it's Ryan from New Jersey. I'm a big Blue fan through and through. I think the Giants take the NFC East. What percentage do you give the Giants to win the NFC East?
I'll give them a 50% chance.
50?
Yes.
So Dallas is at what percent then?
40.
Do you have the Giants ahead of the Cowboys?
Oh, I'm sorry. I give the Giants a 40% chance and the Cowboys a 60% chance. I don't give Washington a chance
to win. So no one else has a chance?
No, I think those two teams are the better
teams. That's it. Those are the teams. All right. I would take that if I'm a Giants fan. Spin it.
And I'm just saying that because we're on in New York right now.
Line five.
This is Chris from Akron. Browns, Bills, and Chiefs, who's got the best overall team out of the three, and who's got the best chance to win the AFC?
Browns, Bills, and Chiefs. I would say the Chiefs have the better team. And then I would say it's a toss-up between Cleveland and Buffalo.
Cleveland's defense is going to be nasty.
Yeah, I think
we don't talk enough
team,
about
though.
Their defense. I think that defense is going to be nice.
But Buffalo's got a solid defense too now.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do. But I'm telling you, like that's the story about the Browns. We spend so much time on Baker and Odell coming back, the running game. But, man, if you run the ball the way they run it and then you have that defense, they're going to be very good. Spin it. Line one.
Nick, this is Alex Pittman from Rapid City. And I was just wondering what makes Sean Payton a quarterback whisperer for Chase Daniels and Tony Romo. I mean, you could call Bill Belichick a quarterback whisperer. He had Tom Brady, Matt Castle, Jimmy G.
You could.
Jacoby Brissett.
You could.
So,
but that's not who we was talking about, though. We were talking about Sean Payton. But you could call him a quarterback whisperer, identifier, whatever you want to call him. But Sean Payton identified Drew Brees when nobody wanted him and threw him away and got a Hall of Fame career out of him. Chase Daniels wasn't drafted, has been in the league for a very, very long time. And now you look at Tony Romo. He discovered Tony Romo out of nowhere, out of Eastern Illinois, brought him to convince them to bring him to the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo, rest is history as far as his Dallas Cowboy career goes. And now you look at Taysom Hill, who he discovered at BYU when nobody thought he should be playing quarterback. He's in a battle to be the starting quarterback, and Jameis Winston is now in a battle for a rebirth. So hopefully I explained that correctly
to you. You did. You broke that down into a fine powder. Now, again, to me, coaches and quarterbacks, if you put a quarterback in a position to succeed, which means whether or not your defense is just really good,
yes,
or you don't ask them to do too much, yes, or you – like, that's generally how you can develop
Reed,
a quarterback.
You look at all the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It used to be a time when I would say you go to Philadelphia with Andy Reid and take a few snaps, and you're going to get paid by somebody else. Because he continuously got quarterbacks to do what he needed them to do, and other people was like, yeah, that guy can play. Now, when they got to those other stops, those other guys didn't know what to do with him.
Right.
But Andy Reid did.
Go.
Well, yeah, they forgot that they didn't bring Andy Reid with him.
Spin it. Line four.
Corey from New York.
Hey, Corey.
Oh, Corey. Hey, how you doing, man?
I got an off-topic question. I'll do an audible. Mm-hmm. I had a question, but I want to switch mine. What upcoming star will be better than their father? Like, or son or daughter will be their better than father? Like, little LeBron or little Tiger Woods. What upcoming star will be better?
Man,
you set the bar high, man.
Yeah, I know. You just played
Tiger or LeBron.
But also, like, just the fact that I'm not prepared. Like, I've got to rifle through with 1 minute to go on the show. Rifle through some of the juniors that are.
I don't know. It's a lot, of juniors.
It's something to think about overnight. Maybe bring back.
Yeah, we'll bring that back. Show. Evan, write that down.
That's
a topic for tomorrow.
By the way, they were pointing out to us on Twitter.
Oh God.
That it's not $90,000 that a practice squad
guy
gets.
Okay, it was 90.
It's almost like 140.
Yeah, because they redid the deal. Collective bargaining agreement is 140 now.
Again, if I'm in my 20s, I'm all in. Don't put me in a cubicle. Give me that 140. I'll get my head kicked in as a practice squad player.
It hurts, huh? You know, you've seen some of the videos.
Yeah.
It hurts.
But I can sleep on 140, though. I'd be all right at that age.
After taxes, you know, it's not 140.
Now you sound like my wife.
Hey, it's not 140 after taxes.
So it's like, hey, you know what I'm making? She's like, yeah, but after taxes. So, you know what? We try and we keep working hard. See you tomorrow, everybody.